Are you obsessed with Los Angeles? Head over heels in love with the City of Angels? Well, this is the podcast for you. At Life Hacks LA, we hack the best in arts, eats, and activities in Los Angeles. So join us and become an LA hacker. What's up, LA Hackers? This is your host, Stefan, and welcome to episode number 71 of the Life Hacks LA podcast. All right, guys, we're doing something a little bit different today. Normally, I interview a guest and we're talking about things to do in Los Angeles, but I thought I would switch it up for this episode, and we're going to be talking about something a little more practical, something I've had a question on for a really long time, and that's real estate in Los Angeles. So it's really hard to figure out what's going on with real estate in LA, as we'll get into in this episode. So I decided to bring my friend on, Media Musavi, and you might remember him from way back in episode 30. He also runs the DTLA Insider account, besides being a real estate agent. And in that episode, episode 30, I had him on to talk about Grand Central Market because he was very familiar with that and he knows downtown Los Angeles so well. That's why he's got the DTLA Insider account. But he's also a very successful real estate agent, and he kind of works all throughout the city. He knows real estate really well, what's going on in LA, and, you know, can answer some of these questions that we have about what's going on with real estate in 2020 in Los Angeles. And so actually this interview was done on Instagram Live, and it was video recorded, but I decided to make a podcast episode too because we got so many questions from people about real estate in Los Angeles, and Media just shares so much valuable information that I wanted to turn it into a podcast episode as well. But just to give you a heads up, it was first recorded as Instagram Live, and so when you listen to it, we might refer to that a few times and refer to people who are watching the Instagram Live. All right, guys, either way, you're really going to love this episode. If you want to figure out what's going on with real estate right now in our beautiful city of Los Angeles, also stay tuned to the end of the episode. As always, I'll have my own real estate hack for you. All right, take care, and I'll see you on the other side. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Stefan from Life Hacks LA, and in this live, we're going to be talking about real estate in Los Angeles. You know, normally we talk about things to do in LA, but I really want to talk a little bit about what's been going on in LA, because, you know, 2020 has just been insane. And one of the things I can't figure out, and I've had a lot of questions about, is just what's the deal with real estate? Because we keep hearing about how everyone's moving out of LA, moving out of the big cities, and the real estate prices here just seem to keep going up along with the rent. So I don't know a lot about real estate myself. I'm about to invite my friend on Media. He's a real estate agent here in Los Angeles. And so he's just going to clear up some of these myths and what's really going on in real estate. I've got a lot of questions myself, but yesterday I asked you to submit some questions, everyone out there, and I've got a ton of questions from the audience. So I'm definitely not the only one who is wondering what the heck's going on with real estate in LA. So hopefully Media can help us out and answer some of these questions for us. And I'm going to see if I can get him on here right now. There he is.
All right, just waiting for him to jump on here. Here we go.
What's up, brother?
Hey, yeah.
How you doing, my man? How you doing, my man?
Good.
It's been a while. It has been. Thank you for having me on here.
Now, is that like a fake screen back there, or is that the real DTLA? Is that branding?
That's actually the real deal.
All right, I'm just teasing you because I've seen that view.
I felt it was fitting for our conversation to come out here.
Yeah, that's nice. Then the last time I saw you, we were having a beer at Grand Central Market, right?
Yes, we were.
In person, I mean.
In person, yeah, right. Well, what was it, Horse Day?
Doesn't that seem like forever ago?
It does. It was the good old days, the way I look at it now.
Yeah. All right, man. So thanks for jumping on here with me. Like I was saying, I've got all these questions about real estate in LA just because nothing seems to make sense, like from an outsider looking in.
Sure.
Like from my point of view, you know, I've owned a few properties in the past. My point of view is if demand is low, then there's more supply and then things get cheaper, right? And we just keep hearing all this stuff about everyone's moving out of LA, everyone's moving out of LA to like places like Texas. I've actually got some friends of mine who moved to Dallas, including a family member, but I'm looking at the prices and they just keep going up. So I want to talk to you about that and some other questions we got. But actually, before I jump into that, why don't you introduce yourself? Because I think some people from Instagram might know you as the person who runs the DTLA Insider account. But can you talk about your real estate background and just introduce people to who you are?
Sure. So I run the page DTLA Insider, as you said. But my day job and my main job is as a real estate agent. I work for the agency. You may have seen us on that show, Million Dollar Listing, boutique firm here in LA. But we have offices all over. But my bread and butter is real estate, and specifically LA real estate or Southern California as a whole. So looking forward to all that 15 pages of questions that you have for me here.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was coming to an inquisition over here. I'm like, damn, I should have gotten
ready
for court.
We'll try to take it easy on you. But,
try.
But like I said, it's like confusing for like an outsider looking in Los Angeles, but doesn't necessarily know how real estate works.
Sure.
And there's just so many conflicting things. So I wanted to start off because selfishly, I wanted to have you on here so I could have my questions answered. So we'll start with there. But I think a lot of people have the same question I have. And we'll start with that first one that I had already gotten into a little bit. Is it true that everyone's picking up and moving to places like Dallas and Vegas? And if it is true, then why haven't prices gone down in Los Angeles? Why is it so expensive and competitive still?
So there is truth to that. And the answer is in the question itself, too. I mean, why is as many people move out, move in? L.A. is one of the most desirable places, not just in the country, in the world. I mean, when you go around the world and ask people where's one place that they would love to visit or where they would go, it's Los Angeles. And for good cause. I mean, we have diversity when it comes to cultural diversity. We have diversity in terrain, mountains, oceans, snow, everything nearby. You have the most opportunity when it comes to work. I mean, is there fierce competition? Yes. Are prices sky high? Absolutely. But there's also more opportunity here than there is anywhere else. And that just shows you why people come from all over the country as well as out of the country that not everybody can make it here. It's very difficult. And I do agree with that because prices are high. It's unaffordable. But at the same time, it is still the most desirable place to live for all those reasons I mentioned. Now, are people moving up? Yes, absolutely. And there's multiple reasons for that. Everybody has their reasons, but the top ones are unaffordable housing. That's all across the board. And that's something that a lot of us Angelinos, we feel it, you know, it's houses, you know, year over year, house prices rose 16% in LA County. Year over year, it was the biggest gain ever. And you would think
from 2019 to 2020?
Year to year change, yeah. Year to year change was 16.6%. And LA Metropolitan was about 15% all across the board. If you look at Southern California as a whole, I think it averaged about 16.2%. And that's unheard of. So when you ask, why are people leaving? There's one big reason. Housing is unaffordable. Prices are sky high here. It's hard to live, a comfortable life here. You know, all your money is going towards rent. Another thing, you could talk about politics. Some people don't like the politics over here. It's a little too liberal, whatever that may be. There's a lot of traffic. Homelessness has increased, which is true. Homelessness also increased 16% year over year in LA.
But my question is, so like I know why people are leaving because like I said, I know people who – a family member has just moved to outside of San Antonio. So, you know, they list all the same reasons that you just talked about. But specifically, my question is, if everybody's leaving, then why is it still so expensive? And I think you talked about it, about people moving in, and that's why the demand is still high. But is that more international people? Because I read that there's more people moving out than in when it comes to the United States.
Correct.
From Los Angeles and California. So is it more international people coming in? Is that what it is?
There are international people, but you have to understand, I mean, the cream of the crop, people that are making the most still are coming to LA. I mean, it's very unaffordable for the average person, but you still have very wealthy individuals or people that are making, you know, high dollar figures over here that are living in LA. And those people will not just, you know, they're not going to leave because it's unaffordable, because for them, it's not unaffordable. And as unaffordable as it is for us, but there's still going to be people coming in that can't afford it over here. And it's sad to say, because that increases the disparity between rich and poor, and LA is really turning into a tale of two cities in that sense. But, you know, we have the highest pool of qualified applicants and qualified purchasers and people that are, you know, making significant incomes. And there's nowhere else that has that but LA and the big major cities. Yeah, so they're still coming.
And I think it kind of answers another question I had, because another like major question I had, and I think other people have, is all the factors you see out there, you would think that people would not be buying a house right now, because you turn on the news and it says, you know, because of COVID, so many people are unemployed and people don't have money, but the prices keep going up. And I guess that kind of answers that question, because there's enough wealthy people that have the money So when they're talking about these people who are unemployed, they wouldn't have been able to afford the house anyway, right? So the demand is still high because it's only wealthy people who are able to even buy in LA, COVID or no COVID, right?
It's starting to get that way. I mean, you know, there's a lot of lifelong renters in LA because the fact that now it's very unaffordable for you to purchase a home, which we'll get into what that takes later on. A lot of the people that were affected were in different industries that weren't necessarily the biggest pool of home purchasers. You know, there are some people that it's crazy because if we talk about that disparity, there are certain sectors and certain individuals and certain, you know, industries that did way better, believe it or not, this year. And a lot of those people are qualified applicants that are now coming in. And these are the ones that you're seeing that are purchasing. We have a high amount of millennials that are purchasing right now. So it's not just cash buyers from overseas. Millennials are the biggest chunk of purchasers right now, which for a lot of people, they say, well, where were these people 2 years ago? You know, were they not well qualified?
They're in high school, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, they just got the legal drinking age.
Yeah, right.
But no, they're here, you know, and we'll talk about why that demand has built up and why people are buying. And that comes down to two things. I mean, what's pushing the price up is it's basic economics. It's supply and demand. And when it comes to supply, it's the lowest inventory we've ever seen. You know, we have 2 months supply of inventory for all the purchases that are out there. Compare that to the financial crisis in 2008 when it was a 2-3 year supply. So we have less homes on the market and more demand and more purchasers that want that home. So for every home, there's 100 people that want it. So obviously supply and demand, that's going to put prices up. But where did this demand also come from? So rates are a big factor on that. When you look at interest rates, so now the 30-year fixed, it's averaging 2.875%. A year and a half before that, that was at 5%. So let me
to simplify it. And I thought that was the highest I could possibly, or the lowest I could possibly ever get.
No.
Was like, I think it was 3.7 or 3.8. It's a house I have in another state. No. That's just insane that it's that low.
It is. And the thing is, what does that do for, where did these qualified applicants come and why are people purchasing? So let's consider a $600,000 loan. You know, in LA County, if it was at 5% versus 2.875, your payment differential is over $700 per month. So a lot of these people that couldn't qualify 2 years ago can qualify now because of that payment differential. Plus, here's the thing. They say, okay, if I'm not going to purchase now and I'm going to purchase in 2 or 3 years, well, at that point, if my payment's up $700-$800 per month, one, it may not make sense for me to purchase. It may be a little more unaffordable. Two, you know, you lose more money on even renting these 2 years and then locking in a higher interest rate than you do purchasing now. And prices aren't going anywhere. You know, we have a supply and demand issue. It's an inventory issue. A lot of people say that.
Yeah.
Prices, you know, we're not crashing anywhere. I'll tell you that.
That's one of the most common questions I got. You know, we got so many questions that I kind of combined some. Sure. But it was, are prices going to keep climbing or should I buy now? That was kind of the main gist of that question. So you're saying that as far as you can see, it's just going to keep going up.
So it's not going to go up at the rate it has been going up. And there were certain factors, like I said, that sped that up. One were the interest rates. I mean, if you're going to lock in and you're going to stay in a home for 10 years, you might as well pay $700 to $1,000 less a month with the interest rates today than you would if you purchase in 2 or 3 years when rates start to move back up. And if prices stay where they are now, then, you know, I mean, you're not going to be able to afford it potentially at that point. So that's one thing that's driving people to purchase now. And it's the cost of borrowing. You know, you may not qualify in 2 or 3 years or you're going to be paying a lot more. So do I think prices are going to skyrocket from here? No, I think the projection is 3% gain next year. But at the same time, if it stays right where it's at, not even that 3%, but rates go up 1%, even 1%, you're paying $500 more per month on a $600,000 mortgage, about $450. So that cost factor, I mean, that's where 30% of newly qualified borrowers came into play because now, hey, I qualify for that because my payment's actually $800 or $1,000 less per month. So that's a big driving force of why things are moving so fast.
Yeah, so people aren't just looking at the sticker price. They're looking at that interest rate, and that's kind of the two main factors of when they're going to buy, right?
Correct. And that's why things last few months and this year in general have moved up was the interest rates.
All right, so let's look at it from a practical sense then, because people have, a lot of the questions I got is, you know, can I afford to buy a house? So I don't even know if this exists, but let's say it's a $500,000 house, just to make it simple. What would it take for someone to purchase a $500,000 home? Do you still need to do 20% down? a really, really good credit score? Or how is it nowadays with how they're giving out loans?
So no, and I saw some of the questions that were asked on your, when you posted the sticker yesterday, where, is it impossible to purchase a home without putting 20% down? And no, if you qualify based on income, the way that they qualify you in the lending world is you have to qualify on that payment based on what your income is. So considering you do, you could put as little as 3.5% down. And I think that's a major misconception that people think you have to put 20% down to purchase a home, where the average consumer is putting about 5 to 10% down right now. And you could put as little as 3.5% down. So
what's the math on the income? So let's say you're buying, I know this probably doesn't exist, $500,000 home, but again, to keep it simple, what roughly would a person have to make if they put down 5%, let's say?
So let's say on a $500,000 mortgage, your payment with tax, insurance, everything would be about $3,000 per month. So that's all it. Now, the way lenders look at it is your payment and all the other debts that you have cannot be more than 50% of what your gross income is. Not your net income, your gross income. So let's consider you have that $3,000 monthly payment plus another $1,000 in, credit card debt, car loans, things like that. So then you're at $4,000. So you would have to show at least $8,000 a month to qualify for that.
So people need to pay down their debt if they want to qualify, if they're like right there, as far as income goes, right?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, either more income or less debt. It's hard to add more income. So a lot of the solution comes down to either paying down the debt or reducing the purchase price.
Yeah. So you definitely have to plan for it if you're like right on that borderline of being able to afford to buy a house or not.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, some people we talk to right now, they're not going to be ready for maybe even 2 years, but it's about making those right moves on your end so that you can prepare yourself for that. So not everybody's ready today, and some people are ready and they don't know that they're ready because they think, look, I want to purchase a $700,000 house. I need $140,000 down. No, you don't. You could do it as little as 5% down or 3.5%. And that's $35,000-$40,000. So that opens up also when people ask, are lending standards strict? They're not strict, but they're not just giving money away too, but they don't make it difficult as long as you qualify based on the income.
Yeah. All right, so this is rental, so I'm not sure if you'll know the answer. So if you don't, just say so. But I kind of, eJimmy3 just asked this on the live, but I kind of got this question from before too from people, and it's about rental properties. So the rental property availability seems to be up now. Can you confirm that, or are you aware of that? And if so, do you think rental prices will go down? Because it seems like rent's really high as well from what I'm hearing from people.
It is. And that comes down to, again, demand. So as unaffordability keeps on building up with single family homes, people still need housing. We have to live somewhere. So because you can't purchase a home, the demand for rental properties is going to increase, the demand for units for rent. So there's a lot more renters in play. Now, are there more rental properties coming on the market? Yes, and specifically in certain areas. Now, if you're talking about a lease environment, downtown, for example, is one of the only areas that's been negatively impacted in terms of real estate from this whole COVID. And we'll get into that too, but rental prices here, have dropped significantly. If you look at suburbs and other areas, they're growing. And as the demand for rents, for rental properties grows, I mean, the rents are going to get pushed up. But if you look at what they're developing all over Los Angeles, the Valley, they're building lease complexes. They're not building, single family homes. They're not, stocking up on townhomes for purchase. It's a lot of lease complexes. So that'll keep rents, I think, at an even level. But that's where also government is jumping in and trying to institute more rent control and things of that nature. Now, people that own rental properties may not like that, and you're seeing an uptick in listings on that end as well.
Yeah. Yeah, can we talk about downtown really quick?
Sure.
I want to make sure I get to some of these major questions, but I was wondering about that because it might answer another question that someone said. Someone asked me, well, why is New York going down? But is that because it's comparable to downtown Los Angeles, which we also see is going down? And what is it about downtown specifically that's making those prices go down where everywhere else is going up?
So if you look at New York and downtown, where are they? They're pretty big metropolitan centers. Now, with COVID, one things that have changed. One, it's what the needs are now for owning a home and what your needs are in a home. And one of the things that people don't want is to be in high-density areas, like downtown, like New York. So if you've looked at any high-density area during the COVID crisis, you've seen people move out in droves. And that's increased and boosted the suburbs, both you know, just the demand for the suburbs and the prices in the suburbs, but people are sprawling out now. People want space. So people don't want to be boxed in an area where, you know, you're in close contact with hundreds of people a day. Plus, if you look at New York and Los Angeles, the COVID rates were, you know, some of the highest in the nation. So the shutdown affected the city. Where's the appeal and draw of a city when there's no sports, entertainment, there's
restaurants.
You know, restaurants, there's not, so you're literally just paying to sit in your condo. And at the same time, you're locked in. You don't have space. You don't have a backyard, which are needs that have presented themselves now to a lot of purchasers, which now they're like, you know, I mean, I moved a lot of people out of downtown in the last few months because, and they swore they would never leave downtown because they wanted space. They wanted a yard. They wanted to make sure that if this happens again and we get locked down, that, you know, they're, you know, they have that space to live. Whereas in this major metropolitan areas, they're very holed in and it's high density. So people are scared of that.
That totally makes sense. Now, I can understand from a rental perspective, but let's say you wanted to invest in something and you wanted to buy downtown. Are those prices, and would that be a good timing to invest? You know, because from a year from now, hopefully downtown comes back to what it was and everyone's out again and doing what they're doing. So how do you feel about that?
So it's, you know, when people ask what's one of the most affordable areas right now, or where is the only area that's really been detrimentally and negatively hit in real estate, it's been downtown. But we have to understand that could be temporary. It just depends on how long this crisis lasts. The issue is now with the second round of lockdown, how many of the small businesses that are in downtown can survive? So if they disappear, it's going to take a while for downtown to come back. It's not going to be just next year at this time, like you said. That could take 2 or 3 or 4 years. And if that's the case, we may not be at the bottom when it comes to downtown, but prices in downtown right now and the inventory, which is high, are very appealing. If you're going to be holding or living here, you know, 5 to 10 years, there's definitely a good entry point right now. But I think there still may be a little bit of room when it comes to that.
For it to go down further?
Slightly. You know, it just depends. I think it's a very unknown time. But again, if they open everything back up in a month or two and things start going back to normal, all the restaurants open up, sports comes back, then, you know, you missed out on an opportunity.
Yeah, because as we both know, we talked about it before, downtown, you know, used to be an undesirable place to live. And over the last 10 years, it's just become amazing, the hottest spot until COVID happened. So, yeah, like you said, if you're patient and you can hang on to it, it might be a good investment.
Absolutely.
But that brings me to another question. So I know you mostly do L.A., but I've seen you like outside of L.A. And, you know, so many people are working from home now. And I think a lot of that, even when COVID's over, there's going to be a lot less commuting going on. So people don't necessarily need to live in the city anymore. So with that being said, are there any places outside of Los Angeles, maybe an hour, hour and a half, 45 minutes, whatever, that you see that are coming up right now that are still somewhat affordable?
Yeah, I mean, the farther east you go, the more affordable prices get. And a lot of people have been sacrificing, you know, being near a big city or having, you know, a house that's very close to all the action or renting, I mean, in an area that has all the action, to driving a little bit more to work or driving a little bit more, but having their own. When it comes to affordability, where we have to look at, sorry, it's sirens. We have to look at areas like, that's downtown for you. And you only heard one today, so that's not that bad. Like, let's say when you go towards areas like Inland Empire, San Bernardino, Riverside, now, that may be a little bit farther out, but there are still areas in between like La Puente. You have some areas in San Gabriel Valley, South San Gabriel Valley, that are still semi-affordable. But again, it depends on, affordable is very subjective. You know, affordable to one person may not be to another. So let's talk about Rancho Cucamonga, Upland, Chino, you know, Ontario, those areas. I mean, you could find a home for $500. You can't find
I look at, you know? But you know what, Media? I laugh when you say that because it seems so far to me. But I've had people tell me that I love L.A. and I love going to see and do all the things in L.A., but I can't afford it anymore. So I'm going to move to Nevada or Texas. And I'm like, hell, you could move an hour away and you're going to get, it's going to be a lot cheaper and you can still get access to those things. At least you can drive to it. You know what I mean? You don't have to get on a plane to come back.
True. I mean, that is true. But I think, you know, if you look at what you're going to get for $500,000 in Ontario versus Texas, I mean, Texas for $400,000 or $500,000, you have all the bells and whistles, 3,000 square foot mansion, no state taxes, you know, there's a lot of,
it's gone up in the desirable cities like Austin, Dallas, because I do a lot of, I haven't done it since COVID happened, but I was doing this project where I had to go to Dallas every week. So I got to know the area really well. And I'm interested in real estate. So I always look on Zillow. And every I'd look, and the same houses just kept going boom, 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 just like going up. You know, not as high as here, obviously, but it's starting. So many people are moving there that they're going to have the same issue that we have eventually, where you're not going to be able to get as much. Especially Austin, places like that.
Yep, because you have industry moving into there as well, and you have employment growth and job opportunities and a lot of tech companies going in, et cetera. And that's a, you know, again, that's a big draw of LA too. Besides just the weather and terrain and diversity, it has a lot of opportunity. There are a lot of employers here. You can make it very big here, or you can't. And there are a lot of places like Texas, Nevada, Arizona that don't have that much opportunity, but they come at a lower cost of living. You know, so you have to see what's more important for you.
But also, if you love Los Angeles like we love Los Angeles, you're missing out on all that too, because, you know, I can go 10 minutes to the beach. From my house, I can go 10 minutes down to the beach, or I can go 10 minutes up, and I've got amazing hiking. I thought 100%. Dallas was actually a cool city. Like I said, I spent a lot of time there, but I was like, it doesn't compare, man. I mean, we've got two – we don't only have a sports team per league. We've got two. I mean, we've got the Lakers and the Clippers. We got
that's
the
LA
Dodgers
for you.
And the, I mean, we've got two of everything. I mean, it's just – and I think right now it's easy to bash Los Angeles because of COVID. You can't take advantage of those things. Right. Well, you can at some, like the hiking and the beaches. But when all that comes back in a year and a half, 2 years, however long it's going to be, I mean, it's pretty hard to beat that, the entertainment here.
It is. It's hard to beat anything. I mean, look, California is a state, but it's the fifth largest economy in the world. So we're beating out other countries. So that just shows you what this one state has in terms of opportunity and the demand of people wanting to come over here. I mean, we're not the fifth largest economy because there's nobody here. There's no business here. It's because it's all over here. And I understand. I mean, to each their own. But and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with other places like Texas or Arizona or Nevada. At the same time, I mean, Cali is in a different category altogether. And it's not just you and I that can agree on that. I'm sure there's a lot of people from all over the world that would.
Definitely. Hiking Honey said Dodgers and Lakers. Hey-ah. And I mean, come on, what city can both teams win a championship in the same month?
Only in LA.
Let's take a couple questions here. So first of all, MP Vero says she lives in Bakersfield, 3 bedrooms, 2.5 bath on the safer side of town, $975 a month. How far is Bakersfield?
That's
super
hours.
Far, right? 2 hours? Okay.
Yep.
That makes sense then. I was like, $975, where the hell is that?
Yeah.
First-time home buyers. You got any tips for first-time home buyers?
First-time home buyers, one, you don't need 20% down. If you're going to be getting ready to purchase, make sure you keep your debts in check. Let's not go and, you know, buy a new car or open up a bunch of credit cards or, you know, put a lot of debt on the books, because that is going to work against you. Make sure you have that down payment. If you don't have the down payment and it's your, you know, your first-time home buyer, you can get the down payment in the form of a gift from family member. So a lot of the time when it comes to first-time home purchasers, this is another question where they're like, how'd they get the money for that down payment? Well, sometimes relatives or family can gift it to them, and you're allowed to, you know, give 100% of that down payment as a gift in certain instances. So save up that down payment, or if not, you know, find somebody that can give you that gift, Stefan.
Hey, you're Mr. Real Estate. He's killing it right now.
make sure your debts are low. And the big question I ask people, you know, you have to know what you're comfortable paying monthly. When I speak to people for the first time, they say, look, I want a house that's $900,000. And I say, well, how much do you want to pay per month? They say, well, look, I want to pay about $4,000 per month. I said, that's more equivalent to you purchasing a home that's $700,000. So it's make sure your reality and the expectations match. Make sure you're pre-approved. Make sure you have that down payment. And make sure you're not running up debt. That's it.
All right. I think I got a personal one for you. So you can skip this one if you want. But Slow Flu asks, hey, Detail Insider, how much do you pay for rent? The atelier is so nice. So I guess he recognizes your building. I can confirm that building. Now. Because I went and visited them there one day, and that building, I was like, oh my God, I could live here, man. This is crazy.
I'm definitely skipping that question.
All right. To the questions that we had earlier, are there any that stick out in your mind that I haven't asked you yet? I mean, there's so many. I just don't even know where to start.
You had a lot.
Yeah.
First time home buyers. What else did we have? Throw them at me.
I wanted to ask you about people that move, some, your clients that move to LA, and we just had a guy on who said he moved here from Texas and he doubled his salary, so that's good. But people that moved here from maybe another country, another city or whatever, what is their perception of Los Angeles? Because from what I've seen living in LA and seeing the outside world is we're just getting bashed here. Like everyone hates LA, everyone hates California. So why are they saying they're moving to Los Angeles? So let's go the other way.
So why are they moving to Los Angeles?
Yeah, the people that are your clients that are looking for a home, what do they tell you about why they moved to LA or moving to LA?
I mean, all the things we mentioned. I mean, the opportunity, again, diversity and just the amount of people, food, diversity and terrain. You have anything and everything available to you. We have 280 days of sunshine a year over here. You know,
and they're rich enough to afford it, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, it's I think now it's starting to turn, like I said, there's a big disparity between those that can purchase in LA and those that cannot. And, you know, the ones that can obviously have the financial means and whereabouts to do so. It's not fair. I know there's a lot of inequality and that gap is widening, but they have the money to do so. And I think you could look at LA as a luxury product now. It's starting to turn that way. So it's not for everybody. Prices are high. It's unaffordable. But again, that's not for everybody. I can't go out there and buy a Bentley because I can't afford it. But it doesn't mean it's for everybody, you know?
Yeah. So I got a good question for you. It's the other way. So instead of buying, we've been talking mostly about buying and being able to afford. And I actually know this person. So I kind of know her situation. But she's saying, should I sell my condo or wait? And basically, she has a pretty nice condo in North Hollywood. And she's thinking about it's gone up a lot in the last couple of years. So she wants to sell high, obviously, and then, you know, she'll just get a inexpensive place and then wait for an opportunity to buy. You think she should hang on to it? I mean, I know it's hard because you don't even know what property we're talking about, but in general, would you say it's a good time to sell, or should you were saying that you think it's still going to keep climbing. Should she wait, or?
So it's a better time to sell than it is to buy. It's a seller's market 100%. You put the property on the market, you have 20, 30 people putting an offer. And what that does is obviously it maximizes the value, maximizes how much you're going to get. But you have to think about what are you going to do with that money? Because the market's not going to, you know, you're not going to make, let's say, a couple hundred thousand, sell that property, wait 2-3 years and buy something, you know, $200,000 less. You have to look at what is your cost of, you know, of selling that property? Because what are you going to do with that money? And if you look at somewhere like North Hollywood, North Hollywood's one of the rapidly growing area. It's an area that I'm a big proponent of. It's rapidly growing. And I think property prices there are going to only increase in value even in the next few years. So
yeah, to give you some context, I think she's on that typical LA life cycle of people have where you move to LA, you have a really good time, then you get married and you move to like Burbank, North Hollywood,
yep.
And then you have kids, and now she's looking to go to like Santa Clarita,
yep.
Way the hell out there. So she's on that typical. So what you're saying basically is that she should, if she wants to turn it around, she should do it pretty quickly, because if she's just waiting, the prices are just going to go up where she wants to buy anyway.
And that's the thing. If you're looking to upgrade into another home, well, that home that you're going to purchase is also going to increase in price. And if rates move up, then your borrowing costs also increase. So really depends on what you're going to do with the money. But if you're moving up to another home, then I would say sooner than later. But it really depends on what you're going to do with that capital.
This is more of a tax question, so if you don't know, then you can just skip it. But if she sells her property and she uses that money to buy another property, then she doesn't pay income tax on the money she made, right?
So if it's her primary residence, the first $250,000 in gain is tax-free. And if you're a couple, it doubles. So
it's 500.
Correct. If you're a couple, so it's $250,000 if it's your primary residence. Now, I think what you're talking about is if you own an investment property and you sell that and you make $200,000, and you do what's called a 1031 exchange, which is you take that $200,000, put it into another property that's similar to this, you don't get taxed on that either.
Okay. Yeah, I think I mixed the two.
Yeah, but no, I mean a primary residence right now. A lot of people that even purchased 4 years ago have made that $250K. So that $250K is tax free.
Okay. All right, well, let me look at these questions and see. Oh, here's a question I have, and a couple people asked this too. So we're talking about competition to buy, and that's what's driving up the price. And we also talked about how people know Los Angeles all over the world. Like, there's not people in China going, I want to move to San Antonio. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're saying, I want to move to LA, New York, maybe San Francisco. Are we competing with the whole world here? Like, is that one of the reasons why, well, the wealthy in the world, because they all want to move to LA or New York?
Competing in the world in what sense? I mean, if you're looking at the
competing
wealthy
with them in the sense that in a normal supply and demand market, it's like you're only competing with your neighbors, right? Like other people who live in that city want to buy that house that you want to buy. But now we got all these rich people in China or whatever country, they say, oh, I want to live in LA. And so now are we competing with them as well? And that's part of the reason.
So we were a lot more than we are now. I mean, right now, a big pool of the purchasers are actually, like I said, they're millennials, they're local people that, you know, they're moving on to that stage of their life. If you look 4 or 5 years ago, there was a huge influx of foreign money, and that was pushing up prices in places just like downtown. And just across the board in general, you had a lot of cash buyers, wealthy individuals from overseas, just paying cash and overpaying in a sense. And that was also creating artificial demand. That's quelled a little bit. But again, the desirability of properties over here from both people within and from other countries that have money, it's still there. It's still there. Whereas in San Antonio, you may not have as much, but believe it or not, you're actually seeing an uptick in areas like Arizona and Texas in terms of foreign investment. So now that's starting to shift in because it's just not making as much sense on a return on your investment in the short term in Los Angeles. You know, you buy something, you rent it out, you make 3 or 4% on your money. Now you go to Texas, you can make 8 to 10% on your money. But in 20 years, that property in LA is going to be worth more than double. Is that the same for, you know, other places like Texas? So you have to weigh, you know, where are prices going to go in Los Angeles versus somewhere else?
Yeah, in LA, I don't think I've never seen it where you lose money on a property when you sell it, as long as you hold on to it. I mean, there's obviously individual situations. Yeah, there's individual situations, but for the most part, even if you're losing money on it, when you sell it, you're going to get your money back and more. It's kind of like owning a sports team, right? Yep. Like these guys always overpay. You always look at these guys buying these sports teams, these billionaires, and they're losing money every year. Some of these sports, you know, some of the sports teams that don't do well, but then they sell the team and it's like $2 billion.
Yeah, so, exactly.
You know, they owned it for 10 years, they flipped it and they made $1 billion. You know, it's crazy.
Well, it's like you're protected from like downside. Yeah, it's like you're protected from the downside, but you're not going to make much in the short term, but the potential and the opportunity for the price appreciation on that property is amazing. You know, I see somebody saying my relative bought a house for $310K in 2013 in El Sereno, and they sold it for $750K 5 years later. That's another area that is, you know, rapidly booming. So,
yeah,
you know, that's LA for you. That's the LA market. Nowhere else is going to move up that fast.
Yeah, you almost can't miss out on that part of it. Because I bought a condo in Burbank. I think it was, this is a while ago. It was only 425 or 450 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then I only stayed there for a couple of years, sold it for, made $100,000.
Yeah.
But I kept looking at it because I like to torture myself.
Don't
do
it.
And now it's like 700, 800.
Don't do that.
Like, oh,
don't do that.
God. You know, they put that giant IKEA up in Burbank, like right down the street.
Yep.
I was like, oh my God, why didn't I just hang on to it?
But you know, you can't cry over spilled milk. It's over. Too late.
Hiking Honey wants to get married to someone and go half on a house. Legit question. Must love dogs, the Dodgers, and love to hike. So we might have a marriage proposal.
Any takers? I love it.
Hey, she likes to hike. That's a huge plus.
Yes, it is.
Someone's asking about Highland Park. I mean, Highland Park's been coming up for a long time. They're asking if is it up and coming, but I think that one's probably already overpriced, right?
It's I wouldn't say overpriced, but it's already done the up and coming portion. But again, you have to look at the areas that are around Highland Park and how much are homes in those areas. For example, now Pasadena South Pass, when you're looking over $1 million easily, you know. So areas like Highland Park that were going for $400,000 or $500,000 when Pasadena was $1 million, as the demand grows, there are less applicants that are or less purchasers that are qualified for, you know, higher priced homes than there are for, you know, homes within that 400 and 900K range. So they came into Highland Park and they pushed that up. And no, Highland Park, now you're seeing homes well over $1 million too. And I think there's still room. I wouldn't say it's up and coming. It's already, you know, gotten there, but I think it's going to continue to grow. And a lot of Northeast LA in general, Mount Washington, Highland Park, El Sereno, I think is when you look at affordability, still, you can get something there for $800K, whereas you can't do that really in Highland Park unless you want some, you know, very little room. So look at all the areas outside the metropolitan cities that are already very expensive. All these areas are going to increase because the demand is going to increase because people could qualify for those homes. You know, and as they do.
Yeah, so if they're interested in Highland Park, then what you're saying is just go to the nearest area that's cheaper, basically.
Yeah, I mean,
kind of hope that it spreads the value spreads from Highland Park to the surrounding areas?
Yeah, but it already has. I feel like Highland Park was one of those last ones. You know, you have Pasadena, Eagle Rock, you have Glassell Park, Cypress Park, all those areas now. I mean, can you talk about affordable? Affordable is very subjective, but you know, if you want to see semi-affordable, there's areas like, I said, El Sereno on the other side of the 110. You have areas like Jefferson Park, Limear Park. Those are semi-affordable, but I see those areas moving up as well. I mean, those homes back then were, what, $300,000 six, 7 years ago, and they're $700,000, $800,000.
Yeah. So, can you imagine? Oh, yeah, my God.
I know. But, you know, it's inevitable. And as it gets, you know, as these high-density areas and the city gets more and more expensive and prices move up, that's going to happen to the adjacent areas as well.
All right, so I wanted to ask you this because you gave kind of a very passionate plea to me personally about why LA is so great. And, you know, celebrities like Joe Rogan came out and said, oh, I'm moving. I think he moved to Austin. And a bunch of celebrities come out and said they're leaving LA and they're like bashing LA. Like I said, I know a couple people who moved to Texas that I know personally in my life, including a relative. So we talked about it a little bit between us, but can you share with everyone, like, why LA is still the place to be? Like, this is still the best, in your opinion. And I know we're biased.
we're biased, but again, it's not, like I said in the beginning, don't listen to just, you know, somebody like you and I or Angelinos. Go ask anybody all around the world, where would they love to visit or where would they love to live? And, you know, they say Los Angeles, Hollywood, Beverly Hills, you know, it's, yeah, I think show business has helped with that. But at the same time, when people think of California and especially Los Angeles, what do you think? You think of the beaches, you think of palm trees, you think of, you know, it's sunny all the time. You think of Hollywood, you think of opportunity, you think of diversity. And there's nowhere else in this melting pot we call America that is more of a melting pot than Los Angeles. And yeah, if you love that diversity, if you love that, you know, that's it right there. That's it right there. You know, yeah. What's an Angelino? What is an Angelino? You know, over 40% of the residents here are Latino, for example. You know, so what is an Angelino? What is a native Angelino? We're from all over the place, and it's accepted. It's just part of the culture of Los Angeles, where we're a melting pot within a melting pot, and that's a beautiful thing in itself. You're not going to get that anywhere else.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I hear people complain about Los Angeles, I'm like, good move. You can take care of the two biggest things I hate about LA, which is traffic and the cost of living.
100%.
But that's what we're getting at here, is like, why isn't the cost of living going down? That's why we had this whole conversation.
Because the demand is so high, Stefan. The demand is so high, and the demand will always be. As many people as move out, there's more qualified and more that are willing to pay these crazy prices here that are moving in, you know? So will that offset? No. I mean, there's going to be more people moving in than are moving out. I think that after this whole COVID crisis kind of quells a little bit, but you know, people will move out. We have some of the highest taxes. There's a lot of pollution. There's a lot of traffic. It's unaffordable. And I understand these are valid reasons and valid points for people to want to move out. But, you know, I think the big factor is unaffordability and just the standard of living, cost of living here. It's tough.
Yeah. You know, I think if LA was cheap, then the entire world would live here. Like the entire country, at least, would try to move in. You know what I mean? Like
100%. It's 100%.
You know, like for me, I know that I can't get as nicer a place to live that I could in another city, but it's worth it to me to look down the street and see that the beach is right there. You know what I mean? And a million other things. I think that what people underestimate about Los Angeles, just how mind-boggling amount of things there are to do here. I used to live in Seattle, and Seattle's got a lot of stuff to do. It's a major city, but there's no way I could have an account of what to do in LA every single day. I have a podcast, in Seattle every day. But here, you have every surrounding city has a lot of things to do. So it's just, you got to weigh your quality of life. Like having a big house is important to you. Right. And maybe LA is not the place unless you're rich. But I offset that with, hey man, I can go walk outside in November with no coat on and go down to the beach. You know, not many places you can 100%. Do that in the US.
Right. You can get in the car and drive 2 hours. You're in Palm Desert, Palm Springs. You know, you can go an hour and a half. You're in Big Bear. And you know, if you really want to do that all in one day, you can in LA. And that's just one little, you know, piece of the pie that makes it what it is. There's nowhere that has that diversity, not just in people, but in terrain and, you know, in what we have available to us. And yeah, it comes down to opportunity. You can go to Texas or you can go to Arizona and you can have a bigger home, but depending on what it is that you do, do you have as much opportunity out there on an employment perspective than you do out here? There's a lot more opportunity, I feel, out here. Again, it depends. If you're a doctor, you're a doctor anywhere. You know, if you're going to have, you know, get paid $300K a year here versus $300K in Texas, go to Texas. You know, I mean, you can you could have a very, very, you know, great, great living. But at the same time, if you want all the bells and whistles, you want everything that we just talked about available to you, then LA is the place to be.
Also, I think from like an entrepreneur perspective, because I think like career wise, that's true that you make more in LA than you make in a lot of other cities. But I think that's starting to level off as far as cost of living versus how much you make. When I first moved to LA, I automatically made a lot more money.
Right.
Yeah, the cost of living was higher, but then now it's starting to go like this. But yeah, if you're like into entrepreneurial stuff or you have a side hustle, I don't know many better places to be, because you meet people, you know, like we met. I wouldn't meet a guy like you in a city where everyone just goes and does a 9-to-5. They come home and that's the end of their day. I mean, you meet so many people who've got something going on in Los Angeles, like they're striving, they're trying to do something better. And that's kind of invaluable, you know,
100%
the connections you can make here.
100%. And like you said, if you're in business and more entrepreneur and it's all about networking and meeting people, nowhere has the opportunity LA does. Nowhere.
Yeah. All right, my man. I think that's all the questions that I had. I mean, I don't know if anyone else has any questions on the live. We'll give a few more minutes to see if anyone's got any more questions, but then I'll let you go. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing with us.
Of course, brother. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for having me on.
I thought I knew a lot about real estate, but man, you
do
some knowledge that now I'm...
You do. Just let me know when you want to buy.
You know what kind of kills me that is I prefer to rent right now because the taxes, I can't stand. Like, okay, there's the price of the house, right? But then you're throwing away this money in taxes. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's something you're not getting back. I mean, and I know you get some taxes back at the end of the year or whatever, but it kills me to have to pay all that money in taxes. And that's another thing about Texas, by the way, because I had some friends that moved out there, like I said, so I looked into it, and they pay way higher property tax than we do, like an insane amount.
They're at about, you know, depending on the county, because I've done a couple deals out there, believe it or not, 2.25% to 3%, whereas we're 1.25% over here. But Texas has no state income tax, so it, you know, it kind of softens that blow, especially if you're self-employed or whatever it may be. So, but again, you have to weigh that out.
Yeah.
But when you combine that with, you know, cheaper homes and cost of living, you know, maybe that Texas will edge out in that sense. But yeah, taxes are high.
And still not, to bring you back to that point, man.
Yeah. Well, what you said about your friend in North Hollywood, and that's the thing too. If she sells this property and buys something that, you know, obviously she could take all the equity from that North Hollywood property, put it down on this new property. But let's say the new property is $1 million. You're paying taxes based on that purchase price that you bought the property for. And that's, you know, in perpetuity. So you're going to have a much higher tax rate. You're going to have a much higher payment than you do now. You know, a lot of people that own homes right now that they purchased for $300,000 that are paying $1,800 a month all in for, you know, taxes, insurance, mortgage, everything. If you were to go sell that house and get $300,000 down and buy a house that's $800,000, well, what are you going to be paying now? And does that make sense for you? So you have to weigh the pros and cons.
We've got a couple more that this is a tough question, but how long do you think these interest rates will last?
So the Fed signaled through 2021, I think as the economy starts to pick up, if everything opens back up, which I foresee next year at this time for them to be ticking up, I think by summer next year, we're going to start seeing an uptick because, again, I think the economy is going to keep on roaring back if everything's open. I think at that point, demand is going to keep on building, especially in the summer for housing, which is when it's the hottest month. So I think at that point, you're going to start seeing those rates trickle up. I think we got about 7 to 12 months.
7 to 12 months. Okay.
Before,
that's a good answer. Do you think rent will ever go down during, after the pandemic?
I think it depends on the area. In general, downtown and these high density areas, yes, rent definitely has gone down, and I think it'll stay that way for the foreseeable future, unless there's all of a sudden a huge influx of demand, but I don't think that's going to happen. Rental outside of the big cities has, you know, demand's increasing, which means the prices and rental prices are increasing. But again, they're developing a lot of lease complexes and a lot of lease units. So I think that supply will kind of even things out. So I see rents typically staying where they are now or slowly growing, but nothing out of control.
Yeah. All right. I don't know if this is a serious question because Slow Flu's been throwing some comedy out here, but he asked, do I hold my Pasadena condo for 10 to 15 years? It's 400K, one bedroom, 600 square feet. 600 square feet.
That's a tough one. You know, I mean, we're talking about what, a little over 700, about 700 square foot. You know, the question is, what would you do with the money and how much equity do you have in there right now? And more importantly, are you renting that property out or are you living in it? Because if you're renting it out, and it's paying your mortgage and everything, your all your expenses, you might as well hold it because I think the asset's going to appreciate. But, you know, if you're going to rent that thing out, it's a real question. But
sorry, you know, Slopu, I just didn't out, know if you're certain, being serious or not.
Who's this? Thanks, Spotify. Can't see these questions.
3:30. Wow, that's pretty good for anything in past.
Where's
the best place to rent in LA? So are there any, and we'll wrap up here soon. I know I don't want to take up all your time, but let's try to get to a few more.
Sure.
So where's the best place to rent in LA that you recommend, which is safe and close to the city? So are there any places where you can get decent rent that you're not too far from downtown and then are still safe? I mean, like, is Koreatown still affordable?
It's gone up. I would say you want to look a little more into Northeast LA. You want to look, like I said, in El Sereno. Mount Washington is typically single family homes, so that's not one of them. You want to look towards Jefferson Park, Limeira Park, which they're safe. You know, these are areas by USC that traditionally, you know, back in the day were unsafe, but are safe now.
Yeah, back in the
Back in the day.
It's nice over there now.
It is. It is. Like I said, prices have doubled up over there. So.
Okay, Limeira Park is pretty nice, too. They opened up some good coffee shops over there and stuff.
Yep. And I think that area is going to continue to keep on going.
What about by the stadium? Because that used to be a less expensive area. The new stadium, the one that they built for the Rams.
Okay. No, that area, now, I mean, that's Limeira
Jefferson. Have you seen any action going on there? Because I kept hearing that people wanted to invest before that stadium went up. Now it's up. Have you seen any action going on over there?
So the news of the stadium coming put a huge boost up in the Inglewood and that entire area in general. I mean, you know, it was absurd.
And that's the hustle of Los Angeles.
That is the hustle.
You know, everybody's like on it before you could even make a move, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing. And sometimes that overspeculation can bite you in the ass, you know, it just depends, but you have to look at what else is coming in that area. You have a stadium and it's not just, you know, some rickety raggedy stadium, you know, they're developing a lot of luxury housing next to that. There's going to be a lot more restaurants coming in, shops coming in, shopping center. So what does that do for the area? It obviously, you know, increases the value and the desirability of that area and changes the demographics and the pricing. So is there opportunity down the line? I think at this point it's kind of run up in that area. And now it's let's wait to see what happens, because what if they come out and say there's no sports for 2 or 3 years? What's going to happen? You know,
yeah,
a stadium is not going to help you at all, you know? So I think that's somewhere you want to watch and wait at this point.
Where are you seeing the most interest from your clients, or is it just kind of all over the place as far as areas?
I've been doing a lot of Northeast LA, Mount Washington area, Eagle Rock, Glassell Park, Cypress Park. And then on the other end of things, you know, there's, you know, people that have a little bit more to spend are moving into Culver City. I'm doing quite a bit. Culver City's gone very expensive. Mar Vista, we're West Hollywood. Every here and there, not too much, but there's also a lot of people, strangely enough, moving to the Valley, because you can get a lot more bang for your buck out in areas like West Hills, North Hills, Winnetka, Canoga Park, Reseda, those areas, than you can in LA. But again, it's a bit of a drive, but if you're going to compare yourself going out to the Inland Empire versus being the Valley, where there's a lot more to do, that's another area I've been seeing a lot of uptick in. And Pasadena, definitely. Pasadena is one of the areas that during this whole pandemic has gotten a huge boost, and I'm seeing a lot of people move from downtown and move to Northeast LA and Pasadena. So those are areas that I've seen a huge amount of growth, because they're close to the city. You know, you're about 10 to 15 minutes from the city. You're accessible, but you have room. You have privacy. You're in the suburbs. You're in the hills. If you have a backyard, you know, if you have to be locked up in your home, it's not an issue. But if you're locked up in a 700 square foot box in downtown, there's nothing going on out there. It's a little bit of an issue.
Yeah. All right, so I'll let you go here. Let's just do one more. So has construction picked up in LA since Q3, and would you recommend buying land in any areas for building? So I kind of had a question about that too, because I noticed like downtown, they've had these huge buildings going up and they've just kind of froze. So is construction still going on? And he's asking about buying land and building on it, but I don't even know if you can do that in the city, right? You'd have to go really far out east
or
something.
You can't do that in the city. I mean, there's areas like Mount Washington, elsewhere, anywhere you have lots, but let's think about this. You buy a lot for $300K. It's going to cost you another $500K to build a home. Yeah, that home's going to be worth, you know, 1.5, 1.6 at the end of the day, but you have to buy that land cash and you have to finance the construction cost, at least 50% of that down yourself. So you're talking about something that's going to cost you about $500K. So if you don't have that money, then you know, it's a moot point, but yeah, is it at the end of the day, is it more profitable? Yeah, but it takes a lot more money to do it as well. So that's another thing. Okay. And downtown, yeah, you've seen a lot of stalling in construction because, again, people are moving away from these high-density areas. They're very scared. When is it going to come back? Is it going to come back? And are people going to be afraid to, you know, be in the city again? Are restaurants going to come back? Because, like you said, downtown was on such an upward trajectory, and we had just hit that point where, you know, it was revolutionizing down here. You know, everything was it was a new renaissance. But I think that we've already been put at least a year back, and I think if this lasts another 2 or 3 months, it's going to put us 2 or 3 years back. And I think, again, that's not going to bode well for downtown. I'm hoping it's not the case because I love it here, but, you know, I'm seeing it in front of my eyes.
Yeah. All right, Matias, thanks so much for coming on, man. My pleasure, brother. Can people find you if they want to reach out to you or just follow you? Is DTLA Insider the best place?
Yeah, you can do DTLA Insider or my personal profile if you don't mind. Once we're done, just post that up on your story. So the M Mousavy, M-O-U-S-S-A-V-Y. And you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out.
Love All right, thanks so much. And guys, if you want me to do more like this, on the podcast, I normally like do what to do in Los Angeles, but I'm thinking about doing more lives about more practical things that's going on in LA. So if you guys want to see more of that, let me know and we'll do some more of these with knowledgeable people like this guy. He's the first person I wanted to have on because I know this guy knows his stuff.
Appreciate it, brother. Good to talk to you.
All right, brother.
All right, my
man. Take care, man.
You too, bro. Talk to you soon. Have a good one.
All right. Bye, everyone. Take care.
Welcome back, LA Hackers. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with my friend Media Mousavy from DTLA Insider as he helped us hack the current state of Los Angeles real estate in 2020 going into 2021. Now, if you have any questions for him or if you're interested in buying or selling real estate in Los Angeles, you can find him on Instagram at mmousavy or at DTLA Insider. Sure, if you hit him up with a question, he'll get back to you. All right, let's get into my special real estate hack for the episode. Guys, you know I like to keep it real with you always, and I'm not in the market to buy anything right now. And, you know, I was actually saving my money because I'm always kind of looking for deals to happen. And so I was stacking money, figuring that 2020 the real estate would go down in Los Angeles. And as Media talked about on the episode, the conversation we just had, that's not happening. That's not going to happen. So I don't think, for me personally, it's not a good time to invest. I'm mostly looking at investment property. So I'm not going to give you any hack when it comes to buying in LA. I'm going to give you a different hack that I've experienced personally. And, you know, because like I said, I just think the LA area is too high right now for what I want to do. So I'm going to share with you something that I've done. And I'm super excited about it. So I've always wanted to live and invest in another country, you know, live temporarily in another country. And so I've been researching that for years. And of course, Mexico is high on the list because there's already thousands of Americans and Canadians living there. It's one of the most popular countries for, they call them expats, but people from the US and Canada and other countries to go to. And, you know, in my research, I came across the most popular places for people to retire, and it's Cabo and San Miguel and all these other places in Mexico. And those places are great, but you know, so many people have gone there that the price has gone up. And another big thing is you have to get on a plane to get there. So recently, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I started looking in Rosarito Beach. I'd been there a few times, but mostly just for the weekend, have a good time like most people from LA and San Diego do. But I saw the potential there. And apparently I'm not the only one, because now a lot of people are going to Rosarito. And because, you know, the other places like Cabo and places people generally have been retiring to are getting more expensive. And the cool thing about Rosarito, though, is it's only 40 minutes from downtown San Diego. So the biggest perk is you do not have to get on a plane like these other places, you know, if you live in California. And then also, it's got San Diego weather. I mean, it's right next to San Diego, so they have the exact same weather. Similar to LA, but, you know, a little cooler like San Diego has. So people are predicting it's going to be like Cabo in the next 5 years as far as popularity to move there. So I actually purchased a condo there, and that's why I'm talking about it, because I can talk about it from personal experience. And I got a great deal on it, and it was a It's a condo right on the beach. It's got the works, you know. It's got a private beach. It's got swimming pools and all that stuff. So, yeah, if you want to buy a property on the beach in California and you can't afford millions of dollars like you need in California, then you might want to look into Rosarito Beach. You got to be cautious, of course, because buying in another country, you don't know all the rules and laws. I got really lucky because the place that I bought, the realtors that I worked with, they actually lived in the place. And they're a married couple and they were from Santa Monica. So it all worked out really well because I could trust them. Everything went fine. And they helped me navigate all that. So yeah, if you're interested in Rosarito, just hit me up, contact@lifehacksla.com, and I'll put you in touch with them. You know, serious inquiries only. We don't want them to get overwhelmed with people just asking questions and never wanting to buy. But yeah, definitely research on your own. Rosarito Beach, I believe that by 2025, 2026, it's definitely going to be one of the most popular places to retire in Mexico, and I think it's just going to drive the real estate prices up. And so now's a good time to buy. All right, guys, that's all I got for you this week. I hope you enjoyed that episode, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye.